Strange man. Strange words. It's like he lifts up his gun and holds it up and readies it and aims it and fires. Isn't that how we sort of experience JB, you know, John the Baptist? Ready, aim, fire. John the Baptist, JB, forerunner, prophet, prophet. We like that. Of course, many of us have a mistaken notion of what a prophet is and what it requires to be a prophet. A prophet in our minds may be someone who's got a big mouth. It may be somebody who is angry at the way things are. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Turn. But is that what is required of a prophet? Looking at the blogosphere, listening to the radio and television and all those talking heads, you'd think that's what a prophet is. But is it? Is that truly what a prophet is? Strange man. Strange words. Accepted? Outsider? Insider? One thing I note as I read this text is, yes, his message of repentance, of turning, is addressed universally. It's to all. And yet, do you notice who his harshest words are reserved for? The scribes, the Pharisees, those who are supposed to have it all together, at least in our minds, you know, the preachers, the church leaders. That's who he lifts up. Ready, aim, kapow. Were you listening? Were you listening? Because you know what that means, don't you? That means that he wasn't standing at the window looking out at the world as if the church were a duck blind and aiming his gun out there. Kapow! His gun was aimed where? Well, here, there, 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 there. These words are for us, folks. Not just for everybody else. Repent. Repent. The theme for today is preparation. And about this time of the season, many of us are starting to get into gear, aren't we, with preparing for Christmas, right? You know, we sort of highlight this in the church. Like last week, what was the first thing we had in our preparations? We had the Advent wreath show up. And this week, we've got this Bethlehem backdrop up. What's going up next week? Candles in the windows and the greenery. And then the following week, what? The wheels. Yeah, the place, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, you know. Preparation. Yeah. We've got our to-do list, right? The best of us have our to-do lists. But Advent is not so much about to-do lists. Advent is really more about our to-be list. Because when it comes to preparing the way of the Lord, it's not as much about what you do. Now, granted, doing is important. But if your mind and your heart and your spirit and all of who you are aren't in the right place, all that doing is just a bunch of doing. Now, when it comes to to-be list or to-do list, where's the first place as Christians that we turn? You know, for me, it's like just two chapters later in Matthew's gospel. We have there, you know, kind of the heart of the message of who we are and how we are to live. The Sermon on the Mount, which may have been a collection of various different things that Jesus said, brought into about three chapters. Or he could have actually put it all together. But we read it all together. And the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, starts out with what? Anyone? How does it start out, the Sermon on the Mount? Anyone? Come on. Participate with me. The sermon isn't just me preaching. How does the Sermon on the Mount start out? Blessed is, and we call these what? The Beatitudes. Thank you. The Beatitudes. It's a list, really. But it's not a to-do list, is it? It's a to-be list. Because there's something, I mean, obviously if it's a to-do list and it talks about, you know, grieving, that's not something we're out to do, are we? No, I'm not going to prepare the way by making sure that a loved one dies. Or that I lose a job. Or that something bad happens to me, right? And these others in the list, you know, are about poverty and spirit and meekness and hunger. You know, these are attitudes. These are a way of approaching things in life that happen to us. And they're not things that we can do in one fell swoop. I mean, it's not like, okay, let's see, need to put up the lights outside the house. Got that done. Check. Need to go up to the attic and get out all the decorations. Got that done. Check. Need to go out and get a tree. Oops, first I should clean the living room first. Check. Go out, get a tree. Check. Put it up. Check. You know what I'm saying. The to-do list doesn't work. But Advent is about being, an attitude of being. You know, this poverty of spirit, Jesus notes, has to do with an ability to receive what is. And the what is far beyond our greatest imagination. I mean, we don't claim to be inheritors necessarily, but here we are. We are receiving the kingdom of heaven. The mourning, we don't choose it, but when it happens, there is a strength, there is a comfort that comes as we rest in the Lord. I mean, I could go through this entire list of Beatitudes and notice how beatitude starts out. The very word focuses us on shifting from to-do to being. Our be, the attitude, our way of being, how we perceive the world. So let's return to John the Baptist and his cry of preparing the way of the Lord. Repenting, turning, the kingdom of God is near. And his harsh words that we need to hear, not just the scribes and the Pharisees out there and somewhere in the past, but we as people within the church, as within those who have been called by God. We need to hear the judgment. And yet, as we receive the judgment, I think we can shift a little bit from seeing a prophet as someone who has a gun and raises it to his shoulders and takes aim and fires away, intending to kill. To seeing that in a different way. Sort of a ready, aim, maybe what a runner does, maybe what we need to do. Our attention, our focus is over here. But being ready means turning in the direction and aiming towards what we are to be in the direction of God's kingdom. So it's ready, aim, and he doesn't say run. What does he call the religious leaders to do? He calls them to bear fruit worthy of repentance. To bear fruit worthy of repentance. And if, as you're hearing, I know it said, your version said produce, but actually the Greek, if I examined it rightly, is more the image of bearing than producing, because the word producing gets us to think about doing, you know, harvesting and things like this. But the word bearing, what is, when you hear bear, the word bear as in bear fruit, what is the first image that comes to mind, especially at this time of year, as we are approaching the birth of Jesus? What is the first thing that comes to mind? What?
Pregnancy.
Pregnancy, yes. That's a natural understanding, you know. And pregnancy is not something that you can have on a to-do list, is it? Well, I mean, yeah. Let's not go there. Okay. But I mean, it is something that you are for a long time. Right? Was it 9 months? Yeah. Okay. And it gradually, I mean, it starts out, you don't know it, but gradually it is very much a part of who you are, and you cannot escape it. You cannot ignore it. It's about how you look. It's about how you feel. It's, okay, I could go down that list. And I should stop now because I have a thing about men talking about women and pregnancy. That's not something I can do. So I'll leave that to somebody else to talk about. But bearing fruit is an important concept, especially at this kind of time of year, because this is not fruit-producing time. Is it? That has passed already. I mean, in the agricultural world right now, here around here, it's a time for, you know, the sort of backing away, allowing things to happen beneath the ground, things that we cannot see at this point, but is still happening there beneath the ground as the roots are still growing. They may be in a different state, but they are still growing. And we have this image of the beautiful image of that Jesse's, you know, that flowering rose or whatever, that is something that sometimes even, you know, breaks through the coldness of the winter eventually and comes to flower. But we know that, you know, that the timing is not in our hands. It's in hands that are beyond ours. That's why it's not on our to-do list. Because we can't do it. Only the one who gives the growth can do that. So for us, preparing the way is sort of making the soil of our lives such that God can grow in us. Now that's hard work. That's not easy. It's not something that can happen overnight. But it is very much a part of preparing the way. Of course, next week we're going to be talking a little about the way of the Lord and what that means. But for now, we have John the Baptist, who is not a shooter. He's not that kind of a prophet. But he is a prophet who is aiming at the heart and encouraging us to aim towards the kingdom and to move in that direction and to bear fruit. Now, our final hymn this morning, number 174, uses a word that we don't use much anymore. And that word is harbinger. A harbinger, you know, I guess if you look in the dictionary, you see it is listed as a forerunner, somebody who goes ahead of. And that's certainly what John did, you know, for Jesus. But a harbinger is also somebody who, when you've got a group or heading in a particular direction, somebody who goes on ahead and makes sure that there is a place to stay for the night. It's connected to the word hostel. Goes ahead and makes sure that there are provisions there. And so that's what John is doing for us as we are moving toward the coming of Christ. He is going on ahead of us and making sure that we've got sustenance and a place to stay along the way. So let's keep that in mind as we sing together, number 174, Blessed be the God of Israel.